Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah 30. And in verse 15, the Word of God says, "For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and in turning and rest shall you be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not." Isaiah was a prophet during King Hezekiah's day. He was an elder statesman as well as a prophet. And he was speaking to Israel prior to their captivity to Judah, prior to its captivity. And he was saying to them, in returning and rest you will be saved. He said, in returning and rest you will be saved. See, one of the things that we believers desperately need is to learn how to rest. Now, he didn't just say in repentance, because Israel was, and Judah also, very backslidden at the time. But he didn't say in repentance you'll be saved. He said in returning and rest. And returning does have the connotation of the repentance there. But when there is a turning, there is also a rest. And so he says, in that fact of your turning, you're going to be saved. You're going to be delivered. Now, at the time, Israel had some pretty significant enemies. At the time, the Syrians were coming down against them. And seriously threatening them. And so Israel was surrounded by hostile nations, much like it is today. Right? Israel was surrounded by hostile nations, and God said, this is how you're going to be delivered. You're not going to be delivered by getting anxious or nervous. And you're not going to be delivered. Your situation is not going to be resolved by running. Your situation gets resolved when you turn to God, the ways of God, the plan of God, the mercy of God, to His character. When you turn to all that God is, and then resting in the situation. Now, we may say to ourselves, how can I possibly rest in the situation? And realizing, of course, that resting is not necessarily physical activity ceasing, but rather resting in your heart, doing that which you need to do, but nevertheless not doing it with anxiety or running or in anticipation of running. The deliverance that Israel experienced was when they rested and waited on God, ultimately, but not right then. Like, for example, at Jericho, Israel didn't have to strive. They just had to respond to God in faith and have His presence go before them. And then Jericho was taken care of. With the Syrians in Hezekiah's day, Israel didn't have to fight against them. God sent an angel to take care of them. This is the same with us. We are the spiritual Israel. So this is the same with us. When we turn in our circumstances that may look very difficult, for example, there may even be conflict, difficulty, fear, there may be things like you look like you're really going to lose. In turning to God and resting, you'll be saved. You'll be delivered in those circumstances. And salvation here is not speaking of necessarily a spiritual salvation, the salvation of the soul. Salvation is speaking of deliverance. But how often do we believers get very afraid and very busy because we are fearful and anxious? And we may not get busy outwardly, but we get busy in our minds and in our emotions. Our soul gets very disturbed. Because we stop resting. and we hear a promise, we pick a promise to say, well, yeah, right, that's easy to say, but I'm in the situation. How does your situation overcome the power of God? Now, we think that it does. What we really think is that God won't be faithful to us if we were really honest and went right down to the bottom line of it. We'd say, I don't think God will really come through for me here. You guys, a lot of you in school, difficult professor, difficult students, I don't think God will come through for me here. Or at work, you get, people maybe attack you for being a believer, or things go wrong. Or maybe in families, things go wrong, conflict. I don't think God will come through for me here. I feel like I need to do something about it. I got to either set it straight or I got to get out of here. The boss is difficult. I got to set it straight or I got to get out of here. School, I got to drop the class or set it straight or something. I got to get my hands on it and I need to change it or I need to depart from. I need to remove myself from the difficulty of the circumstance. But you don't understand something. Your circumstance came from God. How do I know it came from God? Because all things are of God. And so God sent a little divine sandpaper into your life. And your circumstances from God. You know, Pastor Vieira had a great statement like one time. Maybe I've told you guys, I don't remember. He said, running from your problem is like running from a bad kidney. That's what happens. Yeah. Go ahead. He said, running from your problems is like running from a bad kidney. Like, where are you going to go? Do you think that another location, that different scenery is going to resolve the problem? Do you know what the problem really is when I have a problem? Here's the trick in it. The problem is not with the circumstance. The problem is in how I respond to God. My circumstances are never my problem. My response to God is. How do I trust the promises of God? Do I actually trust them or do I say, yeah, right, you haven't walked in my shoes? Well, I got news for you. God doesn't, number one, fit your shoes. Number two, God made your shoes. And number three, God put you in those shoes. I don't think God, you know what? I don't say to God, you haven't walked in my shoes, God. My circumstance isn't the problem. The problem is, do I trust God? You get into a situation, do you trust God? Like, how many people out there, believers out there, start making decisions on the basis of their difficulties? That's going to be 100% guaranteed wrong decision. You know why? Because I make my decisions on the basis of God's will and God's leading. I don't make my decisions on the basis of my difficulties. You make a decision on the basis of a difficulty, forget it. You may as well hang it up right there. Just call it quits because you are going to be in trouble. Your difficulty will consume you then. Because really, what you think you have done is run away from the circumstance or the difficulty, when in truth, what you have done is run away from God's plan to teach you something through that difficulty and cause you to grow in that difficulty so that you become an overcomer. But what you do instead is you run from the difficulty, take away God's provision for you, and now the problem remains. And the next time God has to bring in something where the difficulty is much stronger, where you're not able to get out. It's like dealing with a little kid sometimes. A little kid doesn't like being scolded, so he tries to run away or correct it. Doesn't even have to be scolded. A little kid doesn't like being taught, and so he tries to run away. But what happens when the little kid tries to run away? Well, mom or dad have to come and deal with the kid a little bit more strongly. A little bit of discipline has to come in. The only way to lose with God is quit. That many believers do. And they don't lose their salvation, of course, but they do lose at the Bema seat. The only way to lose with God is quit. Hey, if you have a circumstance in your life that's challenging you beyond yourself, thank God for it. Don't run from it. Thank God for it. Why? Because number one, you're getting eternal rewards. Number two, you're getting eternal character. Number three, you're getting conformed to the image of Christ. Number four, you're getting the fruit of the Spirit worked into your life. And believers run from this. Never run. Never run. If you're in a difficult situation, don't run out of your situation. Run to God in your situation. You see, in returning and in rest is your deliverance. Learn how to rest in the promises of God in the very circumstances that you're in. Because in that, you will find your deliverance in your circumstances. Hey, how many times did it take Job to get it right? 6 times, right? He didn't have to go through it that long. God was doing something in Job's life. God was also using him as a testimony to the angels. And God had a perfect plan for that situation, but God kept Job in that situation until his response was right. That right response means that you have finally gotten something in your heart developed by God through His Word, through His promises, through faith. You finally have something developed in your heart whereby you're able to rest. But these people who keep running from one circumstance and then another one comes there and they run again and another one comes and they run again. You know what they've done? All they've taught themselves is how to run, but never how to rest. If you have a challenge in your life, turn to God in your challenge and trust Him for it. And you know what? You don't have to flip out. How's this going to turn out? I'll tell you how it's going to turn out right now. It's going to turn out better than the way that it started. Where you were as a human being, as a believer, before it started, is not anything near compared to where you're going to be when it's finished. How do I know that? Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. Trouble is, a lot of believers don't stick around to the end of the thing. And so they lose the promises of God because they refuse to stand still and know that He is God. In the standing still, you get to know Him. In the running, you simply strengthen your flesh. So you never run. You never run. Israel mentally ran. Israel mentally ran. But the believer who runs from the challenges that God brings is the believer who loses. You never run. But it's difficult, and things are happening, and it's not pleasant, and my emotions don't like it, and I feel like this. Then stop using your feelings as your standard and start trusting the promises of God on your behalf. Oh, but you don't understand how hard it is. Do you think God doesn't know what He's doing in your life? Bottom line. I mean, the bottom line is tough for some people sometimes. Bottom line. Are you going to trust Him or aren't you? Make up your mind. Are you going to trust Him or aren't you? Are you going to believe what God said or aren't you? If you're not going to believe what He said, then stop pretending and go into the world. Because your life is going to turn out no better than that. And you can hold on to things if you like, but they're just going to get so heavy and so tiring that you'll eventually just drop them anyway. And by the way, even if you do run, God's going to come right after you. You see, there's two things that David said comforted him. thy rod and thy staff. And if I run from the rod, the staff is going to come after me. What is the rod? The rod is governmental doctrine. Okay? It's governmental doctrine. When doctrine becomes the premise on which I make all my decisions, I have a rod in my life. What is a staff? Staff is one of two things, conviction or correction. If I possess the staff, then I have conviction. If God uses the staff on me, I have correction. And I don't mean uses the staff on me like beats me with it. I mean He convicts me. He corrects me. If God's starting to correct me in my mistakes, the staff is there. And David said, your rod and your staff, the governmental doctrine and the fact that I have convictions about all circumstances through your word as imparted by the Holy Spirit gives me comfort. So in returning and rest is your deliverance. In returning and rest is your deliverance. It is entirely possible to be in what would seem to the most difficult, painful, unpleasant circumstance there is and have perfect peace. But that is not a natural thing, that is a supernatural thing that comes through God's rod and staff. And so as a believer, I never run out of my circumstances. I embrace God in my circumstances. And I watch Him deliver me. People often do this with each other. Sometimes married couples do this. All of a sudden, one person's flesh flares up and the other responds with their flesh. You never respond to somebody with your flesh. You see, here's the thing though. Too many married couples have a personality rapport going on rather than a fellowship from God as being the center of their relationship. Often this happens with parents and children with parents. This is big in relationships. All forms, really. Friendships are like this also. But they're often based on personality rapport, where as long as your personality is satisfying my emotional desire to be happy outwardly, then I like you. But the moment that your personality stops satisfying my emotions and starts to challenge them, I don't like you. That's personality rapport. That's carnal. However, if I live in the character and the nature of God, and if I turn to God, His rod and His staff, then great peace have they that love His word, and nothing shall offend them. So, I turn to God's character, I get rest in my heart because I'm believing His promises for the other person, and in my heart I can step back, look at them going maybe ballistic or whatever, they might be even demonized. But I can just step back, look at them, and love them with the character of God because this is the stewardship that God has assigned to me in that relationship. And so I simply love that person right where they are. It doesn't make the situation pleasant, but the beautiful thing is it doesn't take away my peace either. Why? Because I'm comforted by the promises of God and I mix faith with them so that they profit me. And so I turn to God's promises, I turn to God's Word, I turn to the Holy Spirit, I turn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and I am comforted and I have rest in my soul even though everything may be falling apart around me. How do you think Richard Wurmbrand did it all those years? In the midst of horrible suffering. The onslaught against that man was horrible. How do you think his wife did it? I mean, they were so hungry that they went out eating grass. How do you think John did it He was boiled in oil for crying out loud 3 times. He was over 100 years old in an island that was dedicated to violent, insane criminals. He was boiled in oil 3 times at over 100 years old. Did he have a lot of animosity in his letters? No, he had great peace. He had great peace. John didn't start his writings until Patmos. That includes the gospel. No, great peace. Why? Because God's rod and staff comforted him when he returned and rested. And so, when something comes my way, I return and I rest. And I don't fear, I don't fret, I'm not anxious, I'm not nervous, I'm not angry. I don't get frustrated. Why am I frustrated? Because there's something I want that I'm not getting. That's why I'm frustrated. Because there's something I want that I'm not getting. Well, why don't you desire the character of God? Why don't you desire to love? Why don't you desire to be a vessel of God's mercy? And then you won't be frustrating. Then you'll see it as an opportunity. Now, what's the rest of that passage say? In quietness and confidence is what? My ability to bear up? No! In quietness and confidence is my strength. You feel really weak? Maybe you're not experiencing quietness and confidence. Maybe you're not believing the promises of God. Maybe you're looking at your circumstances and thinking your circumstances are everything. Maybe the circumstance is very, very big in your eyes and God is not visible behind it. You know why? Because you're looking for Him behind it. You're already in His hands. You don't need to look anywhere. We think in such strange terms. Where is God? No, the question is, where are you? The question is never, where is God? The question is, where is your thinking? The question is, where is your conviction? The question is, where is your faith? The question is, where are the promises of God in your heart? It is never, where is God? You can't get out of His hand. You want to know where God is? Just look down. That's where He is. He's holding you up. So, in quietness and confidence. Quietness. How does quietness come? When I quiet my heart and start listening to the Holy Spirit. I quiet my heart and I start listening to the promises of God. I quiet my heart and I simply meditate on His Word. In quietness. But I don't have time to meditate on His Word. I have so many people to talk to. I have students coming on my ears. I don't have time. You know what? It doesn't make any difference. The issue is not the student. The issue is not the person. The issue is not the circumstance. The issue is not the professor. The issue is not the parent or the kid. The issue is not another person or anything external. The issue is God sent something into your life to form you into His image. Do you believe it? Well, yes, I will say I believe it because I have been religiously taught, but in my heart that's no comforting. That's because you don't really believe it. If you believed it, you wouldn't have problems resting. You see, this is a challenge for us sometimes, like getting down to brass tacks. Right? Getting down to brass tacks is a real challenge for us. We don't necessarily like to think in terms of, I don't actually believe. Because we like to tell ourselves that there is still some sort of righteousness in us, something good in me. We don't like the idea that there's nothing good in me. You know what? The sooner you get over the notion that there's something good in you, the sooner you'll be more available to have God produce His life in you. I lost it today. Grace. Right? Grace. Hey, it's all grace. But you don't know what I did. Grace. You don't know what they did. Grace. You don't know what's happening. Grace. Can't answer that, can you? It won't work for me. Grace anyway. It's all grace. By the way, it's all grace. You may as well get used to it. It's all grace. It's everything. So, you know what, guys? Let's get something straight here. I don't deserve anyone to be kind to me. I'm a sinner. The only thing, if I was really honest, the only thing I really deserved was to go to hell. I don't deserve anything good. I don't deserve for people to treat me well. I don't deserve to have things easy. And now I'm getting what I deserve. You're here, aren't you? You know what? You're oriented to the wrong thinking. You're oriented to the wrong thinking. We deserve nothing. Okay, let's just get that straight. We deserve nothing. We don't deserve food. We don't deserve clothes. We don't deserve a shelter. We deserve nothing. So whatever I have, it's by the grace of God. It is all grace. And when I get this through my head, that I in fact do deserve nothing, and that whatever comes my way is the grace of God, I'm a much happier person. Why? Because I realize that whether it's good or it's bad, it's grace. Whether my emotions like it or dislike it, it's not about my emotions, it's about grace. It's about the fact that God is going to be faithful in the good times and the bad. It's about the fact that whether I'm abounding or I'm being abased, God's character is what it is, and God's promises are still yea and amen. And so I wait on God, I trust on God, I rely on His promises, I simply believe what He says. I don't get anxious, I don't walk by sight, I simply believe Him, and I start to be able to do what Isaiah was talking about when he said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall rise up with wings as eagles." I like that airplane trip we took recently. We flew over the Appalachians. And then we flew over the lower part of the Rockies. And you know what it looked like from the air? Creases. The mountains that seemed so big from the ground looked like creases, like little teeny folds in fabric. Little creases. Something like you don't iron your shirt quite well enough and there's the mountain chain. But that's what they look like. And it occurred to me, this is exactly what God meant, that they that wait upon the Lord will rise up with wings as eagles. It's not that it was a perfectly flat plateau below me, but it really made not one hill of beans a difference because I wasn't traveling on the creases. I was traveling way above them. And if I'm traveling above the creases, if my life is above, then nothing is anything more than a fold under my feet. And my feet aren't even touching the fold. I just look down there and say, "Oh, look at that, a fold." And somebody on the ground says, "No, it's a huge mountain." So it's a fold. I'm looking right at it. It's a fold. I'll never be able to cross it. Then I'm getting across it right now. Grace. It's all grace. Trust the grace of God. Trust the grace of God for your life. Trust the grace of God for other people's lives. Trust the grace of God for your circumstances. trust the grace of God. Grace does not fail. It is impossible for the grace of God to fail you. Can't happen. But it doesn't look good, then start walking by sight. Sight is one thing one day, another thing the other day. Well, this situation this way, then stop evaluating in natural reasoning. Situations are one thing one day and another thing the other day. This person is like this, then don't worry about the person. Stop trying to have a personality report and put Christ between you, me and thee. This is where conflicts come from, by the way, in people. Is the one person and another person are trying to relate on a personality report than, rather than having one of them, and that's all it takes is one of them putting Christ between me and thee. That's all it takes. But if I have one person who won't do it and I have another person who won't do it, then all I have is this soul power attempt at a personality report, and when things don't go right, that's where you get your clashes. Why don't you put Christ between each other and you won't have that problem? In marriages, why don't you put Christ between you and your spouse and you won't get your divorce? Because the only reason anybody gets a divorce is because they both agreed Christ is not going to be between us. We will try this in the natural effort of our soul power abilities to work out a personality rapport. You know what? If that's the foundation of your relationship, you never actually had one. But if you put Christ between me and thee, love the person, love the person, love the person. You can't love them apart from the cross. Love the person. Excuse me, I tried loving them. They're impossible. Oh, really? Well, my Bible said God is love. What's too big for God? What's impossible is the fact that you're trying to relate to them according to your emotions or personality traits, and you're not succeeding. That's what's impossible. Loving them is actually very easy. Hey guys, it's a whole lot easier to love people than to fight with them. And it feels a lot better also. This is very different than the message I had planned. It's a whole lot different to love people than to fight with them. This is good counseling though. This is a whole lot different to love people than to fight with them. It's so much easier. Somebody freaks out and says, I love you anyway. You know what you're going to find out? That they're going to stop freaking out. Somebody gets angry at you, I love you anyway. And I'm going to let you know that I love you. And you know what happens? They stop being angry. But instead, you're not the way that I want you to be. You're not behaving, you're not talking the way I want you to talk, you're not responding to me the way I want you to respond, and it's all a self-centered personality trip that's bound to fail from the very get-go. Why? Because personality report never works. Why? Because there's no good thing in you, you have a sick head, faint heart, no good thing in you, you may as well hang it up. You're living in a body of death, what do you have that's good in you? Jesus didn't try to fix it, He crucified it. But how many people in their relationships try to fix things and make things just so everybody's little flesh is happy, and as long as my little flesh is happy, I'll tolerate your little flesh. Why don't you get out of the flesh? Why don't you learn what it means to have the love of God shed abroad in your heart? Why don't you learn what it means to be to reveal the fruit of the Spirit to somebody? We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but do we actually possess it? Stop reacting, start loving. Stop getting angry, learn what it means to get God's patience for the circumstance. How do I do that? You turn to Him, you turn to His promises, you turn to His Word, you get His mind. I read my Bible, get specifics. Get specific promises from God for specific circumstances in your life. Get specifics. Get built up. By the way, if you're not built up, forget it. You've got nothing to work with. Then all you have is the flesh. Get built up. Learn what it means that you're loved by God. Learn what it means to love with God's love. Get built up. God has given you an opportunity to glorify Him. Don't run from it. Get built up. You don't know how hard it is. It's only hard to your emotions. Get out of your emotions. What are you, picking something up? Is that why it seems so heavy to you? You're picking something up? You know, rest does not require a great deal of effort. What does it require? To come to Christ, who gives you a light burden and an easy yoke. The problem is that people in their circumstances look at the other person or look at the situation or look at the problem or whatever it happens, look at the attack, whatever it happens to be, they look horizontally, they don't look vertically. And so I say to myself, this is the problem. He's the problem. She's the problem. That's the kid's the problem. The parent is the problem. The friend is the problem. The boss is the problem. The illness is the problem. You don't know what the problem is. That's part of your problem. It's not a problem. It's a circumstance God brought into your life to conform you to His image and to give you eternal rewards as you go through a momentary light affliction that gives you an eternal weight of glory. It's not a problem. It's a provision. So believers run out of their provisions because their emotions are not responding well, because they're not taking on the promises of God and believing them. What is it in your life that is so difficult that you have to run away from God's provision? You know what it is? An orientation. It's an orientation to the flesh. An orientation to a soul apart from God's Word being alive in it. It's an orientation to those things which are of this world. But it's not an orientation toward God. This is why in the wilderness, Moses said to them, "Look at the brazen serpent." He did not say to them, "Worry, run from the snakes, kill the snakes, kill them, kill all the snakes, no problem, exterminate the snakes." He didn't say that. He said, get your orientation right and your problem goes away. Hey guys, whatever the problem appears to be, get your orientation right and the problem goes away. And you know what happens if that problem happens to be with another person? That person grows also. Because the love of God was revealed to them instead of a demonically projected response to the through the flesh in a self-oriented manifestation. You never run out of your problems. You turn to God in your problems. If you run out of your problems, all you're going to do is get a bigger problem. Oh, maybe that one detail has gone away. So God will just make sure another one comes in to replace it. And now this one's going to be a whole lot bigger because obviously that one didn't do the trick. Never run out of your problems. You let God deal with your heart and your problems go away. But we believers are so resistant because sometimes we are so unbelievably attached to our emotions. And those very emotions are leading us around like a bull that has a ring in the nose. And you have this powerful animal and this little teeny ring. You can get anything you want out of that bull. And that's what our emotions are like when we start being oriented to how it feels. We become like a bull with a ring in the nose, and then the atmosphere can take us wherever it wants us. And if Satan says run, I run, and I run right out of God's provisions, run right out of being conformed to the image of Christ, riding right into natural reasoning where what I get is what I can figure out. You never run. You never run. You never run. You stand still. You embrace God in your difficulties and you rest in His promises. And that's where you see your deliverance. And you have complete confidence toward God's character. And you stay quiet in your heart. How do you stay quiet in your heart? You cast down those imaginations. Folks, stop listening to the voices in your head. Everybody gets those. I really don't like this. Shut up! That's how you respond. I really think, I am so mad. Shut up! Why? It's a projection from the atmosphere. That's why. And it disguises itself as a thought of frustration, and it's right from the pit. It's not even your own thought. So you cast down, you hurl it away from you. You cut it right off. Just as soon as it starts, you cut it right off. Every imagination, every thought, every pondering, anything you exalt against the knowledge of God, against doctrine, against promises, against the character of God. We exalt things. You know what we do? We don't just not discard those thoughts. We meditate on them. We mull them over. We start thinking and thinking, more and this and that situation, and they said and they did, and look, I'm so, and if that, oh man, I'm mad. You're mad, but I mean in the crazy sense. No, you don't even go there. And as soon as the enemy tries to send that into your head, you cut it right off. Recognize it for what it is. Don't acknowledge it. Don't mess with it. Don't touch it. Don't play with it. Don't mull it over. Don't think with it. Don't entertain it. Don't call it your buddy. You get rid of it. You get rid of it. You absolutely get rid of it. Folks, never make a decision out of a bad circumstance. When times are difficult for people, when they're being challenged, that's not the time to make a decision. The time to make a decision is when you're spirit-filled and spirit-led. Never make a decision quickly. God never rushes people. God knows how to announce Himself well in advance. Deadlines with God don't exist. In your circumstances, embrace God. Rest in His promises. Stop talking in your head. And be confident towards His character and His love toward you. And that's where you'll find your strength. Amen.